Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit MidAmerica shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on with our discussion on the book Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. We are 63% of the way through this book, and we've actually now entered into the last section. So the first section, part one, was all about the importance of the mind. So we talked about the setting of the battlefield. We talked about not giving up and being positive and all of the ways in which the enemy tries to get us to lose and forfeit this battlefield of our mind. We, in part two, talked about conditions of the mind. So really just setting the atmosphere or setting the expectation for what is normal. What is a Christ-like mindset? What should it look like if we're winning this battlefield of the mind? And so that's where we left off at the end of part two, the mind of Christ. And now we're moving into part three, discussing wilderness mentalities. And this is the last part of the book. Again, if you want to pick up now, it's still not too late, and you want to finish this book off with us, I'll put the link to the book in the show notes. But even if you're not reading along, always tune into the episodes, because it's my goal to communicate this in a way to where it's valuable to you, whether you are actively reading or not. And as always, the scriptures that I bring up that Joyce references in this book will be in the show notes as well, so you guys can do a deeper dive in your own time on the various scriptures to just reinforce what we're talking about in each episode and see through the word what the Lord wants you to know about your particular battlefield of the mind. So we start off part three with the introduction of Deuteronomy 1 and 2, which says, normally it takes only 11 days to travel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, going by way of Mount Seir. She says, the people of the nation of Israel wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, making what was actually an 11-day journey. Why? Was it their enemies, their circumstances, their trials along the way, or something entirely different that prevented them from arriving at their destination? As I was pondering the situation, God gave me a powerful revelation that has helped me personally as well as thousands of others. The Lord said to me, and I have this highlighted, the children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness making an 11-day trip because they had a wilderness mentality. She goes on to say, we shouldn't look at the Israelites with such astonishment because most of us do the same thing they did. We keep going around and around the same mountains instead of making progress. The result is it takes us years to experience victory over something that could have and should have been dealt with quickly. I think the Lord is saying the same thing to you and me today that He said to the children of Israel in their day. You have dwelt long enough on the same mountain. It's time to move on. And Joyce just continued to keep swinging. The next part I have highlighted, she said, some people have a wilderness type life because they are a wilderness. And it was interesting because when looking at just this book as a whole, I am like, okay, we talked about, like, we ended with the mind of Christ in chapter 15. So why does it feel like we're going backwards by talking about the wilderness mentality? And I mean, the rest of this book, we still have 7 to 8 more chapters, and all of them were talking about the wilderness mentality. It feels like we took steps forward in chapter 15, but we're taking steps backward in part 3. But when I thought about it and thought about just the people of Israel, I remember when this wasn't my first introduction to Deuteronomy or Exodus or the whole story, but I remember when I decided to read the Bible, I wanted to read it from the beginning to the end, and I was making my way through, and I got to, of course, Exodus and Deuteronomy, and as things progressed, I was getting so frustrated with the people of Israel because it was like, bro, y'all always complaining. Y'all always looking for something to make a god. Y'all was in slavery, got free, witnessed all of these miracles. And you talking about, well, you might as well just send us back because you're mad about XYZ. They were getting on my last nerve. But after I stopped being judgy, I quickly realized when reading it then how we are the exact same way. So even looking at this book and how we're about to spend the next 6, 7, 8 chapters discussing the different wilderness mentalities, we need it. Because how many of us are just like them? God has freed us. He's delivered us. He showed himself to us. And we still asking him to prove himself to us for us to follow him and obey him completely to this day. Like, this is so necessary for us to walk through because we need that mirror put up to us so that we can deal with these various wilderness mentalities that we have. And one of the things I loved about this book when I read it before and what I'm falling in love with it again for now is how thorough it is and how Joyce really is not letting us get away with Nathan. You hear me? Nothing. I have a part highlighted here that says most of the generation that the Lord called out of Egypt never entered into the promised land. Instead, they died in the wilderness. To me, this is one of the saddest things that can happen to a child of God, to have so much available and yet never be able to enjoy any of it. She says, I was one of those people for many years of my Christian life. I was on my way to heaven, but I was not enjoying the trip. How many of you feel like you're in that same position, where you're on your way to heaven, but you're not enjoying the trip? I feel like for me, as somebody who's ambitious and who's always looking to grow and improve, that's just an element of my nature. In many ways, I've tamed my inner hustler and just really gotten over a lot of the trauma that drove my achievement nature. But I still am somebody who's goal oriented and who's always looking to improve and has a growth mindset by nature. These are great things. Again, the trauma tainted it, but these characteristics of me, the Lord uses for his glory, and they are good characteristics that I had. But a way that the enemy also will pervert that aspect of me is by me not enjoying the journey, always looking for what's next. And I'm sure many of you can find yourself in that situation where it's like you've gotten this degree, and instead of taking a moment and being grateful for what God has brought you through and how all of the setbacks and the bad test scores or the incomplete assignments, the terrible group projects, the long nights and all of the things that you've overcome to be able to get to this point, instead of taking a moment to rejoice and praise God and use that for a reason to be content, you're just worried about what's next. Whether you're in business and the Lord has allowed you to build a business where you may be self-employed and able to live off of an idea that the Lord gave you, but you're just worried about the 6 figures, the 7 figures, and not just enjoying the fact that God has brought you to a place of fulfillment when at one point you were clocking into a job that you hated every day. Maybe you're at a job right now and the Lord has blessed you with a position where you're able to support your family, where you can live comfortably, where you can go to the doctor's office if you get sick and not have to worry about no huge bill, where your needs are met. You got food in the refrigerator. You got clothes on your back. Your kids are taken care of. And you're not in that same space working 3, 4, 5 jobs to sustain. You can work one and take care of your family, but now you're worried about, well, I don't want to work for anybody. I want to work for myself, versus just taking a moment and living from a place of contentment and joy and peace that comes from putting your trust in the Lord and living from a place where you are recognizing His goodness on a day to day and not just focusing on what you don't have. A personal mission of mine over the last, I would say, year or two has been focusing heavily on contentment. There is a lot that I want to do, that I want to accomplish, that I want to build. But to be quite honest with you guys, the Lord has done so much for me. The fact that I am living to be able to speak right now, and we had a pandemic that took the lives of millions of people, that's something to rejoice about. The fact that I can kiss my children every morning when I didn't know if I was even going to be able to have children. The fact that I have a husband who loves me and supports me, and I don't have to worry about if he cheating, if he lying, if he got other things going on. But I have somebody who just loves me in the most purest way, when all I come from is divorce and toxic relationships. I have businesses, these ideas, these things. I went through my old prayer journals recently, and I was going through one from 2018, and I wrote down the name Anchored Media. And I wrote down just these bits and pieces of the things that the Lord was giving me. So I'm looking back at these old journals, really just in awe of what God has done. And suddenly all the things I want to do next, all the things I don't have, or all the ways in which I'm still waiting for the Lord to show up, they become so minuscule in comparison to what He's already done. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed. right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year.
This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price.
These people in Israel, Moses led them out of slavery. And he was leading them to the promised land, the land of milk and honey. But because of their wilderness mentality, some of them died right there in the wilderness. Because of Moses' disobedience, he didn't even see the promised land or enter it. Rather, the Lord let him see it, but he didn't even enter into the promised land himself. And so, again, I see why we have to spend a whole section of this book on the wilderness season, because I'm sure Joyce doesn't, I don't, and I know the Lord doesn't want us to die in the wilderness like some of the people or the generation of the people of Israel did. So chapter 16, so far I've talked about really the introduction to this section. Chapter 16, she goes over the first wilderness mentality. Wilderness mentality number one is, my future is determined by my past and my present. The opening scripture she uses is Proverbs 29:18. In the King James Version, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I like the Message Version that says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Joyce says, the Israelites had no positive vision for their lives, no dreams. They knew where they came from, but they did not know where they were going. Everything was based on what they had seen and could see. They did not know how to see with the eye of faith. Let that sink in for a moment. The people of Israel maneuvered or operated with two things in mind: where they came from and where they currently are. They were not able to trust in what Moses was telling them and where he was leading with them. These people seen manna fall from heaven. They seen the fire and the cloud lead them. They've seen the Red Sea parted. They've seen Moses go up and talk to the Lord and then come back with instructions from them. They have seen manifestations of the presence of the Lord so many times, but they are so fixated on where they came from and what their current condition is, and I would say the lack within their current condition, because their current condition also included so many ways in which God showed up for them, but they weren't looking at that. They were looking at lack. And this is the mentality that they operated on, and this is what they've inaccurately assumed their future to be. How many of us are just like that, where we're so into learning about ourselves? So we're in therapy and all these things. And hear me out, I'm not saying therapy is wrong or anything like that. But a lot of times when you go into therapy, you are talking and discussing your childhood, different things about your upbringing, your relationships. You're talking a lot about your past in order to get a holistic view and an understanding of what has made you into who you are today. I think it's necessary to do that, but we have to point out the way in which if we don't partner that with the wisdom and the guidance and focus of faith in the Lord, how that could be incomplete and problematic, for lack of a better word. So we learn so much about our past and debunk our past and, again, all the things that have made us who we are today. And then we look at our present. We look at maybe how much money we make, our job, occupation, our neighborhood, how we feel on a day-to-day, our relationships, whatever the case may be, we look at the various aspects of our present, and then we let that determine what our future is going to be. In some ways, you may say, hey, I come from poverty. I'm currently living less than I want to be financially. So I'm going to determine that in my future, I'm going to be financially successful. So let me do what I got to do so that I can make money and I can do better for my family. And then we spiritualize it by saying, I want to build generational wealth and all of these things. So again, we are adapting I believe in modern times, we adopt this same wilderness mentality. It just looks a little different. But even in it looking different, the outcome is still the same. Taking 40 years to make an 11-day trip, staying in circumstances way longer than we should simply because of our mentality. And it's such a nuanced thing because in talking about this wilderness mentality, I don't think it's about right and wrong. I think it's about a lack of focus because there's nothing wrong with you going to therapy to understand your past. There's nothing wrong with you being self-aware and introspective and really understanding why you think the way that you think and why you move the way that you move. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But if we stop there and only take into account that information to dictate the decisions that we make, we are going to stay in the wilderness. I have highlighted here, Joy says, we serve a God who created everything we see out of nothing. Give him your nothingness and watch him go to work. All he needs is your faith in him. He needs for you to believe and he will do the rest. She says, we cannot judge things accurately by the sight of our natural eyes. We must have spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear. We need to hear what the Spirit says, not what the world says. Let God speak to you about your future, not everyone else. Let God speak to you about your future, not everyone else. Let God speak to you about your decisions, not everyone else. Let God speak to you about your identity, not everyone else, because He created you. He created you. As I was having my quiet time earlier this week, I have wrote down, I want to do a podcast episode, maybe a YouTube video, just talking about how the enemy corrupts curiosity. How that same curiosity that drives us to therapy, that drives us to being introspective, that drives us to all these personality tests, that drives us to all of these workshops and life coaching environments and all of that, that same curiosity about who we are drives us everywhere else but to the feet of the Father, but to the one who created the world from nothing, but to the one who knows every hair on our head, but to the one who knew us before he formed us in our mother's womb. Why are we so comfortable running everywhere else but to the Lord? There's a childlike curiosity that we're born with that gets so tainted over the years. I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother had me in church and I don't remember what the sermon was about. I just remember the question that sparked in me was, how do I know my purpose and what God has called me to do? And at a young age, I remember being a child, I asked my grandmother that and she had arranged for me to sit down with the pastor so that I could ask him. And I don't remember what the pastor told me. I just remember that childlike curiosity that I had and was grateful for the ability to ask that question. And for my grandmother and the pastor to facilitate me getting those questions answered. And I was talking to the Lord about that this week, and I wanted to do a podcast or video, some type of content about it and dive deeper into it. And then later on that same week, I was watching The Chosen and I just started watching it. And so I was only on maybe episode 3, where I think it's called Jesus Loves the Children. And it was just such a sweet episode. Because it just showed that childlike curiosity, how they were asking questions, just having conversations, and Jesus was just talking to them, answering their questions, showing them areas where if they were talking about things in school, he was explaining situations to them, just giving them wisdom. It was just so beautiful to see that childlike curiosity and the enthusiasm and the love and the willingness of Jesus to meet them there and answer their questions and how happy he was about it. Of course, when we're reading a text, we can't see him face to face. That's why content like The Chosen is so important, but it just made my heart so warm because I'm like, dang, in my big age, I want to still have that childlike curiosity. Even at my big age, and at our big ages, no matter how old you are, we ain't kids, we can still go to the Lord with our curiosity and our questions. And he is still there, willing, wanting to answer them, to love on us, to show us ourselves, to give us answers, to give us guidance, to give us direction, to give us comfort. He wants to do all of those things. But this wilderness mentality keeps us from that. It keeps us in situations and in seasons way longer than we need to. So I ask you again, can you see this wilderness mentality manifesting in your own life? Again, it's called, the title is, My Future is Determined by My Past and My Present. Do you operate in that belief system? The answer may have been no at the beginning of the episode, but do you feel like you operate in that belief system? Can you see a bit of that mentality within yourself? If so, that's something to take to the Lord. If so, then you need to go to the Lord with that childlike curiosity and ask Him to show you your future. Ask Him to reveal and give you wisdom. So remember, we started off the chapter with, where there is no vision, the people perish. The vision ain't us, what we come up with. It ain't what we cut out of magazines and put on a vision board. It ain't that. The vision comes from the Lord. It's His divine guidance that sustains us. So I'm going to end things here. If this episode blessed you, share it with a friend. Leave us a 5-star review. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. And I'll see you in the next one.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.